It's good to see all you good folk people today. Of course, the Lord will continue to bless you there in Kamloops. And even though we're thousands of miles away, we can hear each other and see each other. Trust the Lord will bless his word as we're about to read it. Now, the subject this morning for a few minutes is the cave Adullam. There are three direct references to cave Adullam in the Old Testament, and there are indirect references. And I'm going to read you four brief readings on the Holy Scriptures of Truth. And I'm going to talk a little about cave Adullam. Maybe you've never noticed where it was located. It's located in the land of Israel, the territory of the tribe of Judah, and approximately 15 miles from that little town of Bethlehem that is so well known in the Scriptures of Truth. So I'm going to read to you 1 Samuel, please, chapter 22. That's our first reading. 1 Samuel, chapter 22. Look at verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. That's the first reference. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. He became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Look at some of the names of some of these people that were not only in the cave, but in the group of 400 men. Example, verse 5. And the prophet Gad said unto David, read the chapter a little further, verse 20. And one of the sons of Elimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's prophets, the Lord's priests. Look at verse 23. David is saying to Abiathar, abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safe, shall be in safe part. And I want to go to 2 Samuel now, please. 2 Samuel chapter 23, a verse. And this will tell us the second reference to cave Adullam. Look at verse 1 of 2 Samuel 23. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, several things are recorded, but this is the chapter where he deals with his mighty men. Look, please, at verse number 13. And three of the 30 chief, these are of his mighty men, went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephidim. Next reference, 1 Chronicles chapter 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. I'll just read you the next reference. 1 Chronicles, please, chapter 11, verse number 15. Three of the 30 captains went down to the rock of David, into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Ephraim. I'm going to read you one more in the Psalms. Psalm 142. Just notice what it says here. Psalm 142. Look at the title. It says, Maskil of David, prayer when he was in the cave. And most believe that that cave was Cave Adullam. Listen to his words and tells us how he felt. Look at verse 2. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Those are the four references that we want to talk about today. So I can hear somebody saying, well, what does the cave of Adullam do with me? And I'm going to suggest to you that it illustrates in some ways a New Testament assembly. It doesn't fit in everything, but there are illustrations in the Old Testament of a New Testament assembly. Genesis chapter 3, for example, Ruth chapter 2, and on it goes. Now, we don't teach truth from the Old Testament, but we illustrate truth, and that's what we want to talk about today. I want to give a little background to where we are in this particular part of the history of the nation of Israel. You remember that David was the eighth son of Jesse that lived in Bethlehem. He was absolutely unknown. Even when Samuel came that day to anoint him, he wasn't even present. But you know the story that Samuel desired that he would come, and he left the sheep, the keeper, and he came to where Samuel was, and in front of all the family and others, he anointed him to be the second sovereign, the king of the nation of Israel. I take it he's only a youth. He's likely a teenager, absolutely unknown. One day, the father Jesse desired that David would go to the camp of Saul. And he had several older brothers there that were in the army of Saul. And he went down to see them. And this brought him into the national sphere, because it was then that he left Saul, went down into the valley of Elah, took one smooth stone of the five and slung it. And in seconds, this great champion, Goliath, fell on his face to the earth. And you remember that David took his sword and cut off his head. He came back a mighty victor, and this brought him to the national scene in the nation of Israel. As the time went on, Saul desired that David should be with him in the palace. David was, one of the functions he had was to play the harp, as no one else could do. We understand when this evil spirit would come on Saul, who was then the king, the son of Kish. More than once, when he saw the skills of the younger man, he he got envious and jealous, and he took the javelin and tried to strike him to the wall. But God preserved his servant. He had great future for him, and he escaped his grasp. As he was there, he became one of the leaders of the army and was used in many times to slay the Philistines who were in control at that time. In fact, as a result, as you all remember, that Saul gave his daughter Michal to be his wife, and they moved on together. 1 Samuel chapter 19 shows that one evening when David came home, his young wife said to him, "David, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." And he was let down by a window, and he fled in the darkness of the night. And for a number of months, or maybe years, he moved in the hillsides of Judea and Benjamin, and Saul was after him. He wanted to slay him. But God preserved his servant. The next thing happened, with different things coming together, David one day arrived in the cave of Adullam. The word means rights of the people. He was well known as a national figure in the nation. And as we've read, 400 men who were really upset with Saul and his kingdom, they left Saul and they came to David. And here they lived for a considerable time in cave, Adullam, dark and maybe lonely and damp. Now, I want to notice four simple things about the cave Adullam and make an application. I want you to think of the friends of David that were in the cave, and then how David felt, the feelings of David, as Psalm 142 shows, and then the faithful ones that there were with David in the cave, and then his followers. And through these four simple thoughts, we're going to talk for a few minutes. Please notice what it says about the character of the men that were with David. They have three D's. I'm sure you've seen them many times, but it's well worth repeating. These were men that were in distress. You see, there was no implements of warfare in the nation at that time. The Philistines had everything, and Saul was absolutely defenseless. And these men, they couldn't take it anymore. They were in distress, and they knew about this great young man, David, and gladly they went to him. That tells us where the grace of God found us in application. In earlier years, to whatever degree, we were in distress and had no peace in our hearts. It's just like what Isaiah 57 says. "There's no peace, says my God, to the wicked. They are like the troubled sea when it casted up mire and dirt and at rest." That's where the grace of God found us. And today we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our stead. Remember that we were debtors, whether it was a 20 pence or 500 pence debtor. The parable that tells of the Lord Jesus, he frankly forgave those that were in debt. And sure, exactly what happened to us the moment we were saved by the grace of God. Ephesians 1, you remember that it is we have redemption through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he even the forgiveness of sins. And how happy we are today that our sins are all forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. These people were discontented. They couldn't see any future with Saul, the son of Kish. So gladly they went to Cave Adullam to be with David, the son of Jesse. We just remind our hearts that we're in a discontented world. Nobody is content with their lot. Right across the wide acres of earth today, and before the grace of God reached us, we were likely discontented, just like the prodigal son. And he couldn't appreciate the favors that he had. And you know the story, he went to the far country and all the rest of it. So we are content today. We have peace in our hearts, and we're going to heaven. Now, Cave Adullam is a faint illustration of a New Testament assembly. We are those who have been forgiven, who are now baptized and gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and gladly we form part of a New Testament assembly. So we thank God today, even though there are restrictions, and this is what we're doing this morning. We cannot move as a holy priesthood, but in the measure that we have, we thank the Lord for the opportunity of being together. Now, I want to speak for a few minutes about the feelings of David. He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's the man after God's own heart, but always remember he was human, just like any of us. And that's why we turn to Psalm 142 and the title would indicate that these were the feelings of David when he was in Cave Adullam. I read you some of the points. He says, for example, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. He was really distressed. He was really verbalizing his feelings. And we can see that this is just a feature of each one of us. Somewhere along the line, whether we're in happy fellowship in an assembly, we have our feelings. And sometimes we get distressed and distraught with the circumstances that we pass through. But we thank the Lord for the throne of heavenly grace that in every time of need we present our requests to him. And he's there as the great intercessor on our behalf at God's right hand. But you see, if we do get discouraged, and do get distressed, we cannot function and be helpful and effective in the assembly to the measure that we should be. So, Lord, help us then that if that is somebody today maybe discouraged, take this to the Lord in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer, whatever it may be, in the circumstances that we pass through. And when we do, be allowed to meet with the authorities again in assembly capacity, we can be more effective and useful for him. Now that then brings us to another point. We want to talk about these faithful people that were with David in Cave Adullam. I have just highlighted three names. You see, there's the prophet Gad. He represents the man that brought the word of God to that group. And then there is Abiathar, the priest. And if the first man, Gad, represents the word of God, this man, Abiathar, represents the worship that ascends from the assembly gathered to his name. And then, of course, the first name is David, He is the one that we focus on. And he is the one who was the leader, the Lord, the captain, the one that went in front. And that speaks of our heavenly David. You see, all authority is given unto him. That's Matthew chapter 28. All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So it's beautiful to see that there was a man called Gad that represented the Word of God. And the Word of God in a New Testament assembly is prominent. You see, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says there that the Word of God, the Scriptures, are profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully furnished unto all good works. So there's conviction, there's direction, and the Word of God will help us in any given situation. We turn to the Holy Bible. See this man, Abiathar, he was the only one that escaped of all the priests in that day that Saul slew 85 of them. And he comes to David, and he's the one that's in the group. He represents worship and service in the sanctuary of God. And so, in assembly life, and even to the extent we have done today, worship comes from our hearts. And the Father God, as John chapter 4 shows, God is seeking worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. And gladly, we tell the Father what we think of the Son. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2 is another passage where lively stones in the spiritual building were there to do one thing, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Father through the Son. So what an honor and a privilege it is to do each of these. And then, of course, David represents our heavenly David and the Lord Jesus Christ. It says about him, he is Lord of all. Acts chapter 10. So in assembly life, we learn something of the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. To ask ourselves a very simple question as we survey our life right now. Is he Lord of my life? Is he Lord in my assembly, our assembly? Is he Lord in the family? Is he Lord in the business? Is he Lord in the secular world and all the different functions that we're involved with? We're going to be effective and useful. It's just like David lead in the cave of Adullam. We want to give him the preeminent place, the first place in all our affections and all our movements in a New Testament assembly for his honor and glory. I want to talk now for a minute or two about the followers of David. Just a little word of explanation here. You see, you read 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and chapter 12. There are many names, more than any that are mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 23. You see, those in the Chronicle passages, they were mentioned as David came to the throne at 30 years of age. 40 years later, he's now 70, and he's moving to eternity. And before he goes, he wants to compensate and reward those that were faithful to him when he was in rejection. So the number in 2 Samuel 23 is a lot less, 36 names, and many of those are mentioned in the Chronicle passages, likely passed on but are in eternity. So it's amazing to see that these dear men were so loyal and loved David, and he, of course, loved them. And the love that they had was so strong that they were prepared to leave everything else to the one side and go to be with David. And that's the spirit that the Lord is looking from us, that we will give him the preeminent place, and that our affection and love for him will continue and develop and grow. You know, that's like John 20. The Lord asked Peter, John 21, lovest thou me more than these? The bottom line, Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I fondly love thee. Why are we doing what we're doing today, for example? Because the love of Christ is in our hearts, shed abroad in our hearts. And we want to do all we can to help him. Now, you see, David himself had longings, and he longed that he would have a draught of the water of the well in Bethlehem, and was occupied by the Philistines at that time. Three of these mighty men heard him. He expressed the longings of his heart, and without being directed or any compulsion on them of any kind, they went down, they broke rank with these Philistine garrisons, brought the water back, and gave it to David. That shows the affection that they had and the longings to please him. And of course, David, a wise man, didn't drink the water. He poured it out as a drink offering. He recognized that these men put their lives in jeopardy and in danger that they might please him. Now, these are indicators of the Lord is looking from us. Now, I didn't read the verse, but the language of these people tell us how they appreciated this man, David. Thine are we, David. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And on thy side, thy son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee. David was everything to those dear men, and they would have done anything for him. And we certainly can learn a lesson from that there. And of course, David recognized their loyalty to him, and before he went home to heaven, they were rewarded. There were men there, for example, Benaniah became the commander-in-chief of the army, and others were brought to prominence because of their loyalty to David. Now we make a simple application for us. You see, the Lord is always ready to compensate and reward his people. So we might ask ourselves right now, do we really love the Lord Jesus Christ? And if we do, then is what Paul said, the Son of God who loveth me and gave himself for me. We respond to that and do anything that the Lord would desire us to do. And so we ask the next question, how much are we prepared to sacrifice for him? How many people are we prepared to talk to about him and spread the word wherever we go? And we want to give him the first place in all our lives. So I know that the cave of Adullam is limited, but there are illustrations from the narrative that I have read to you that would indicate to us, by way of illustration, what the Lord wants from us. You see, those four things, we can make an application to the Lord himself. Of, we are his friends. John's Gospel, chapter 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he said, ye are my friends. See, we have talked a little about the friends of David. Well, then, think of the feelings of David. It's hard to even appreciate how he felt. It's just a thin picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ, a perfect man on earth, as we have indicated already today, Gethsemane is the place where we see the feelings of the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. So he was perfect in every sense of the word, but he was human and had feelings. And then, of course, there is his faithfulness. The Lord is faithful. God is faithful. And in 2 Thessalonians 3, for example, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And then, of course, there's our faithfulness to him. And then we think of, we are his followers. John's gospel is full of this. It's like what the Lord said to Peter, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." So where he leads me, I will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. We thank the Lord for then the privilege of just going over some of these basic, simple things that are illustrated in the history of the Old Testament. The history books are well worth reading and to glean simple things about what we have talked around this morning. So thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Trust the Lord will bless each one and all that we represent. And now, just before we finish,